I personally do enjoy the backdrop here. Preaching from the Serengeti Desert or whatever it is back there is really nice. Thank you so much, all those. I concur with Robert that you guys did a great job, those of you that spent so many hours here decorating, preparing for VBS. And by the way, later we will be commissioning our workers at the end of the service with the VBS. Just want to let you know that we have 70 volunteers in CBC this year volunteering to work. And also, we have close to 100 children, and we'll probably have more because you know how we are, last many people, 95 right now. And if you can, that next Friday at 1 p.m., we will have a final closing ceremony, and we'd love for you to be here just to see what God has done with the lives of the children. Would you pray with me as we look into the Word of God? Father, we come before you. Thank you so much for just giving us the privilege to minister in so many different ways, and this week, ministering with children. Lord, we know you will do awesome things, and eternity would be different because of this week, and we trust that your Spirit would just minister in ways that only you can, and we look forward to it. Father, would you speak to our hearts from your words? And Lord, some things I know that our society don't want to hear, but Father, would you speak to us? These are your words. You spoke this to your servants and allowed us to be studying it, reading it, and living by it all these years. We pray that you would do so again today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably more than any time in our country, speaking about this is a little bit more touchy because it seems like because of social media, because of television, because of the internet, and all these things, people are really aware of politics today. And it's right there. We live in this country, in this world that is available for us. And there is certainly a lot of disagreements. And there's no limitations of opinions of what politics should be. And so we are dealing with a passage, and I think it will probably be easy to jump away from it, but we can't do that. This is the Word of God. And if nothing else, I want you to know that as a preacher of the Word of God, I want to go to everything about it. We don't skip things because we're uncomfortable. We don't skip things because we disagree. We don't like it, whatever it is. We went through some of the tougher things in the beginning of Romans, and now in Romans 13. You remember, it's really important, from chapters 1 to 11, it is talking about the wrath of God against the sin of humanity. It is talking about how we need to be saved. It is talking about how the righteousness of God cannot be attained by anything in any system in this world. No religion, no nothing. It has to be from God. Only the righteousness from Jesus will allow us to be good enough to enter heaven because it is his righteousness. And so in chapters 12 to on, it speaks about how we live. But it begins, remember, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is so important that we have to, as Christians, put ourselves on the altar of the living God. That we have to be living sacrifices. That we have to make a decision, a choice in which we say, you know what? We are going to serve the Lord. Everything in our lives. Every bit of it. Not a little bit, not just an arm, not just a leg, but the whole being. Everything from our innards to our body to our minds and so forth. That's really important. We make that choice and God would then begin to work in our lives in wonderful ways. The Spirit of God will give us gifts. His grace will be sufficient for us to do the things that we have been planned long ago by the Almighty God to do, to live out that life. And in the midst of that, we talked about a bunch of things, and it's talking about Christian ethics. The things that we do, how we love, how we hate, whatever it is, those things, it's really important. How we treat each other, how we treat people outside. How do we treat our enemies? How do we not avenge ourselves? Now, chapter 13, it continues, but it goes a little broader. Now, dealing with the government, because we all live in governments. There are three institutions that God ordained. The first is, we know, it's the family. God has ordained the family. It is the family that God has said. There's a mother, father, all these things, the family, Adam and Eve, and so forth. That is an institution that God has given. The second one is the church. We know that. The church is formed by God. The church is the body of Christ. The third is the government. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, He established them. We'll talk more about that, and we'll get into a Christian's responsibility to government in a second, and how we are to do that. But I want you to know that it doesn't say that God formed righteous governments. It doesn't say that at all. It just says that God formed the government. So government, especially back in those days, 2,000 years ago, there's no such thing as democracy. We're so used to democracy. We're so used to government run by the people. We actually have a vote to decide the government that we want. Well, that's not happening 2,000 years ago, certainly not during the Roman Empire. And that government is established by the force of the centurions and the legions and all these things. People are conquered and killed. Massive numbers of people have been destroyed lives to form that government. So when God says that there's this government that he instituted, well, we need to understand that it is not necessarily the United States of America government. It is not necessarily democracy. It doesn't mean that communist governments are not formed by God. It doesn't mean that dictatorships and so on. We need to understand that a little bit. And so for us here today, as we look into this passage, now just look into it as we go in word by, you know, verse by verse, you want to understand what God is saying and not what we're thinking about. All right? We have a lot of preconceived notions. How could we not? We grew up in a country that was very uniquely different than any other country. We have freedom that other countries barely can even think about. We have done things and we have experienced things and that countries all around the world are jealous for. So how can we not think that when we look this? But look in the Word of God and see what it says. A Christian's responsibility to govern. We do have a responsibility. This is something that is there. So first of all, we are to submit to the government. We are to submit to the government. Now take your sheet or your Bible, whatever you want to use, and follow with me. This is really important. I don't want to make any of this stuff up. Because in that case, it's Pastor Dan's opinion. And I want to show you there are a lot of opinions that are very different than mine. But what we want to look at is this. There are seven reasons here in this passage. And we're going to use this passage again next week. But seven reasons here that the Lord told us very specifically why we are responsible to the government, that we are to submit to the government. First of all, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. That's the government. For there's no authority except that which God has established. So you see this here. The first thing is God established this government. He said, great, sure. We know the United States, you know, the founding fathers, 243 years ago, right? They formed, they're all Christians or mostly Christians, and they have all these ideas. All these people from Europe that fled there, the oppression, they came, and sure, we can follow that. But then someone might say, wait a minute, I didn't come from this government. I didn't come here. I was an immigrant recently. I came from China. I was 70 million people were killed under Mao Zedong. Are we supposed to submit to that government too? Somebody would say, wait a minute, I'm from the Middle East. 19, I believe, are a Muslim. The Muslim government, they totally treat things differently. They're not from a Judeo-Christian background. Am I supposed to submit under that too? They have Sharia laws. And someone would say, wait a minute, I'm even worse, you know. I'm from a government that and you can put in the possibilities. And other people would say, wait a minute, I'm a historian. I'm thinking about this a little bit. Wait a minute. The Roman government, Paul wanted us to follow the Roman government. You know how terrible the Roman government was? 3 to 4 slaves, so every free man in that empire, over 1,000 years, they ruled that area. Vicious, cruel. Remember what they did to Jerusalem when they sacked it in 70 AD? They killed over 1 million people there. Men, women, children, old people, didn't matter. How can we succumb to a government like that? You say, wow, those are all good questions, right? But nevertheless, this is what it says, okay? God commanded that we are subject to the governing authority. And this, God has established it. It doesn't say that God established only good countries, good governments. And by the way, I know that as an American, I love to say it. Sometimes I think it, but it's not true. This is not a Christian nation. This is a nation with a whole lot of Christians who established a whole lot of values. But you don't be surprised as we are moving away from the values of the Christian community or the biblical principles, because this is a nation, but nevertheless established by God as all nations. So that's the first thing, because God has established it. We have to be under the authority and submission to the government because God has established. Secondly, it goes on, verse 2, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Okay, we are not to rebel against the government. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. Go back to the first slide. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But right now, we are told that we are not to rebel against the government. That does not mean that we agree to everything that the government says. It's just that we don't rebel. Because it says here, and I read this and I studied and I looked at it and read everywhere I can find, it says that if we are rebelling against the authority of the government, we are actually rebelling against what God has instituted. So we are actually rebelling against God if we rebel against the government. Now, we're not there yet. There are a lot of things that the governments of this world, the laws that are put out there that are so ungodly, so wrong. You say, are we supposed to just follow those laws? Are we supposed to just do those things? And it's not just the other governments, all right? It's not just, say, for instance, Sharia law in the Muslim world or the communist laws in the communist countries. Think about our laws. Our law, it is totally legal to kill a child in the womb. In a couple of states, you can do so after they're born. That's the law. So these are not necessarily good laws and moral laws by any stretch. So it's not just the other governments. Don't think about that. We have them here too. And by the way, some governments, their morality is much higher than our morality, by the way, recently. So it is multiple governments, but it says here, okay, we are to submit to the government, one, first of all, because God has established this. Second of all, this is just scriptures here. If you want to argue with it, you can argue with it, but it's scriptures here. We are not to rebel against it, because if we rebel against our government, we are rebelling against God. The third is if you did that, this is the third reason why we submit to a government. If you did that, you are going to bring judgment on yourself. You will receive the punishment that's due you. Governments will punish you for breaking laws. And so that's another reason why you submit to the government. You don't need to receive these kind of punishments. You say, wait a minute, some punishment maybe you should have. Yes, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and we won't finish without that, certainly. But there's a lot of things we can just say, we don't like this. For instance, we won't talk about taxes today, but we say, the taxes are just unfair. Why should I give, well, in some states, like New York, over 50% of my hard-earned money to the government for no good reason. And then they spend it on these kind of nonsense. I'm just not going to do that, so I'm not paying taxes. Okay, that's a law. And so you will be punished for it, obviously. You will lose things. You might even go to jail, right? This is it, the third reason. The fourth reason is interesting. It says here, okay, for verse 3, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. That word terror is interesting. It's the word in the Greek word is phobo, which means phobia. We get that. It is like, you know, I'm just fearful of it. Just kind of like this. I don't know if you ever had a police officer following you behind. You're driving just perfectly fine. You're barely 5 miles over the speed limit maybe, right? And then suddenly you see a car in the back. And it just looks like a police officer, right? He's got these things, not flashing or anything. Suddenly, what do? Immediately, you're going down 10, 15 miles to a place where he might pull you over because you're too slow. But you do that, right? It's a natural thing because there is something in us that just says, you know what? I just don't want to do something wrong in the midst of a governing authority over me. This is what we do, all right? This is what we call good and evil. We're right and wrong. We know that kind of thing. We all kind of have that concept. And the government, all governments, it doesn't matter whether it's a communist government, All right. There are authorities there to keep the peace, to keep what is right and wrong, so that you don't get killed, you don't get robbed, you don't get any of those kind of things. When that is gone, you have anarchy. You remember, I don't know, some of you might have seen it. There was a scene that happened this past week where in Portland, the city of Portland, there was some kind of, you know, protest and this and that. And then this poor guy, a journalist of some kind, was attacked mercilessly. It's really terrible. It's on video. You can see it. It's viral. You can find it on YouTube anywhere. You can find it. And he was just attacked. And it was said that the police officers were told to stand down, just let it happen. And because that was there, and there was no governing authority to keep the peace, to make it happen, to safety, someone got hurt. And he got hurt. He had a brain hemorrhage and stuff like that from the attack, the punches that he received. And this happens all the time. Can you imagine if there was none of that? Now, the government does that. So that's what it's talking about here. For rulers hold no terror. You're not afraid if you are doing right. But for those who are doing wrong, well, you know what? They're afraid of it. And so that's another reason, the fourth reason. A fifth reason, it goes on here. It says, then do what is right and you will be commended. I'm not saying that every time you just live rightly, you're going to get commendation. But if you are obeying the laws, generally, you are not going to be in trouble. And sometimes because you've done some good things, you might get some awards and stuff like that. It happens. This is a fifth thing. The sixth, let me finish it up. There's seven altogether here. Verse 4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servant. Interesting here. This is talking about respecting the governing authority and particularly the policing authority. I think one of the struggles that we have in our country today, and I, you know, affects me because, well, Barbara and I, we have a child that is a police officer. And by the way, if you ever get in trouble in Times Square, New York, just look for Sergeant Ho. He might get you out of something. Just saying. That's where he's stationed. He has a squad there. But you know what? We are attacking our police officer. I don't know if you heard a story about how in a Starbucks, five police officers were told to get out because there was a person there that was uncomfortable with a police officer. That's outrageous. First, why would a person be uncomfortable with a police officer unless that person is used to being arrested by a police officer or he's planning to do something unethical, unrighteous, or criminal? But for five police officers who get up in the morning, puts on a uniform, I know, my son does that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, put on a bulletproof vest because there's a possibility they won't come home. And to ask those officers who have a cup of coffee to get out because they're an offense to me. That's our country today. That's not only our country, there are other countries like that too. But the scriptures here is very, very clear about this. And that is that God sees them, okay, as his servants for peace, for law and order. They are God's agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. You say, wait a minute. Does that even mean like that? What happened in North Korea? In one of the most, hard country, a dictatorship. It doesn't describe only in America. It doesn't describe communist China alone. It says all countries. So this is what it is. Does that mean that governments are godly? No, they are not godly. But this is just how God has ordained governments, okay? And there are different ones. And he has his reasons. I want to share with you in a moment how they are. But lastly, the seventh reason that's given here, and this is just scriptures. Look at it, study it, do anything you want to do with it. Say, Pastor, then I disagree with you. Fine, disagree with me. Look at the scriptures, it said. And finally, okay, it's not just to submit because of punishment, but also because of matter of conscience. You know, you go home at night, you don't say, I'm so glad I broke a few laws, I'm so happy I broke those laws, they didn't catch me. No. As God's people, we're not like that. We're not people of vengeance. We're not people that want to look forward to breaking. We are people that say, you know what? We have been good citizens. We can go home and say, you know what? We didn't break any laws. We followed the rules. We didn't speed. We didn't do this and that. We certainly didn't steal and rob. Government protect their people generally to keep their lives alive and also to keep their properties. That's what they do. So these are the seven reasons why we are told to submit. Let me go to the second thing here. We are not revolutionaries. I think there's a lot of people that use religion as, you know what, religion, our religion should have us change things. In fact, in South America for a long, long time, there was this old idea that if you're a Christian, you know, you need to change and transform because there's so many dictators in Chile and Argentina, all these places where we need to go and change it. But they miss the point here if they did that. They miss the point that God's people have something far more important in mind, far more important than revolutionary thinking. We have eternity in mind. The gospel message is far more important than anything else. The word of God is far more important than anything else. And so we as God's people are not designed to change the government. God will do that in his own time. And he has done that even with the Roman Empire. You remember that. Eventually, here's an empire that used to execute and just persecute Christians to no end. In fact, the Caesar Nero, he burned down Rome and he blamed the Christians. And afterwards, he would burn Christians and turn them literally in torches continuously because he just hated them so much and used them as scapegoat and put them in the Colosseum and let them, you know, on and on and on. He just did that. So this is an empire that went after the Christians. But the Christians were not there to do any revolutionary thing. They did not raise up armies to go against the Roman Empire. In fact, they wanted that to happen. The Jewish people, the leaders, wanted Jesus to be that. They wanted him to be the conqueror over their oppressor, the Roman Empire. He did not do that. But eventually, even the Roman Empire became a Christian empire. And tons of people in that empire gave their lives to Jesus Christ. We are not revolutionaries. There are a lot of ills in this world. There are. There's so many ills in this world. There are a lot of social injustice. And I know that we get caught up in the weeds here in America. We talk about what happened 7 years ago of slavery. We talk about those things and the social ill. We talk about racism. And those of us that are not white Americans, most of us have faced a little bit of racism, some more than others. I faced it enough, being young enough when I came, even in New York City. We have all kinds of stuff, economic inequities, on and on and on, you know. We have all those kinds of things. But I want to tell you something. As God's people, that is not our priority. And some people say, Pastor Dan, you can't say that. It is our priority. We got to fix things. No. God will fix things. We ought to pray for our governments. We ought to pray for our presidents and leaders. President Trump should be someone you pray for. President Obama was someone that you should have prayed for. We need to pray for these people because that's what Scripture says. But our priority is not to revolutionize our country. That does not mean that we don't get involved. I'm not saying you don't get involved in politics and in government. I think that's fine. But you need to do it in the right way. If you are going to protest against the abortion laws of America, that's fine. Do it in such ways that you don't break the law. I think we don't. Most of the people that stand in front of Planned Parenthood, they don't. They're standing there with, you know, just praying and on. Those things are good. Those are part of our laws. We do not do revolutionary things. We do not take weapons up. We do not go and break the law so that we can get our way. We don't do what the Antifa does, you know, covering themselves up and beating up on people. We don't take guns and weapons and threaten people to get our ways. We do not do those kind of things. That's not what we do. There are all kinds of laws and things and that in governments are terrible, but we don't do those things. John Newton is a man that you probably know of. Of course you know. He wrote Amazing Grace. You remember what he was? He was a slave trader. He was not an American citizen. He was a British citizen. Americans are not the only slave owning people. Back in those days, they all did. He was a slave trader. He would take these ships and go to Africa, and the Africans would bring the slaves to him. And he would go and just treat them inhumane, just like what we read about. And then he found Jesus Christ, gave his life to Jesus, wrote that song, Amazing Grace. And in the end of his life, we are told that he worked hard to change the whole slavery thing. This is what God does. God transforms people from the inside out. We are not revolutionary. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But I want to tell you something that's interesting. The countries that you would think that will suffer the most, because they're the worst governments, the worst, right, against Christianity, you would think that they would just have no Christians there at all. You would be wrong. You would think that those governments, God, how can you allow them to exist? They would include Muslim governments. They would include, you know, communist governments. But you will be wrong. If you go to Indonesia today, you will find the gospel message just thriving. Churches sprouting up everywhere. Meanwhile, they're burning churches. They're killing pastors. You know, this is a Muslim country. But one of the fastest growing areas where the Christian faith is Indonesia. And in case you don't believe that, you know what happened when the missionaries were thrown out of China. You remember that. There were about 4 to 5 million Christians in China at the time when Mao Zedong took over. And the missionaries were all thrown out because this is a communist country. And you remember, the Christians were being taken in. They were going to concentration camps. We have stories. We heard all kinds of examples of how Christian pastors were treated. And now we know there's upwards of 120, maybe 130 million Christians in China. It's still not a lot because it's only 10%, and there's 1.3 billion people in China, so there's still 1.2 billion people that don't know Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, the Christian church exploded. This is under a regime that was oppressive to the Christian faith. So what am I saying here? What I'm telling you is this: God knows. He ordains and allows governments to exist. What we need to do is follow biblical principles and pray for our leaders. Last thing, but there is an exception. We need to submit to the authority of the government. There's one exception. This is one. This is really important that you know there's one. But you must be willing to pay the price for it if you take this exception. You can find in Acts chapter 4 and 5, two incidents in which Peter and John, you remember, they were preaching the word of God. Remember the guy that was crippled from life and so forth, and he's jumping up and down, he's healed, you know. And Peter and Paul, Peter and John, they're preaching the word of God, the gospel message, and they got dragged in by the Sanhedrin. They got dragged in by the authority. They told them, and they threatened them. They said, you are not allowed to do this anymore. You are not allowed that. And here is what Peter said. You judge for yourself. Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? All right. Are we going to stop telling people about Jesus? And Jesus told us to keep telling them. This is the one exception. When the government challenges, threatens, prevents, and passes a law that says you cannot tell others about Jesus Christ, or you must do something likewise, that they want you to do, recant, whatever it is. When they pass that law, that is the exception. But you must be willing to pay the price. And Christians throughout the world have. They have. Some countries, they have been exterminated, no doubt. The church was vibrant in North Africa, and in the Middle East, in the Turkey area. And then when Islam came to be, they were exterminated. The Christians were exterminated. But I'm sure we will talk to them in heaven how they stay faithful to the gospel. There are other places where they suffer a lot. And I think in America, it's getting to a place where we will suffer. Increasingly, we will suffer. But on this alone, if this government ever says, you cannot preach the word of God, you cannot tell the gospel, you cannot share the gospel with people, well, that's the exception. I know they do that in China even now. You know some of the laws there. I know that in China, you cannot share the gospel with someone that's under 18 years old. If you do that, that's against the law. And not only that, that child, if he hears it, He will be prevented from going to higher education. He will suffer. But I want to tell you something. I am sure that Chinese Christians are sharing the gospel with their children, because that is the exception that God has given to us. We're going to talk more about this next week, talk about taxes and doing things like that. But I want to tell you, it is hard sometimes. But you know what? We need to submit to our government more than anything else. We should be blessed and thank the Lord that we have a government in which we can have enough freedom to do a whole lot of things. But one of the things we need to do is keep on praying for our leaders. Doesn't matter whether he's in your party. Doesn't matter whether they agree with you or not. The Bible tells us we need to pray for our leaders. And God will bless and God will do things. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for, just the privilege to be able to open up the Word of God and preach it, that the government hasn't shut that down yet. But I want to thank you for our government. Thank you for our nation. I pray that you would teach us as God's people to follow the Word. Allow us, Lord, to have the grace we need to follow the government, submit to it, to resist it in a way that is appropriate and right, but always, Lord God, to be able to be faithful to you and your word. Father, I pray that you will help us to be good citizens, demonstrating who we are as God's people to a world that does not know you, and give us opportunities again and again to share the good news with others. Father, as we go into our Lord's Supper, which is minister in our midst. Oh, Lord God, would you, Lord, be in our midst. Speak to our hearts. Touch us where we need. And we thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.